Listen to conversations with some of today's most innovative brands to hear practical advice and insight on technology, customer experience, co-creation, marketing, entrepreneurship, and more. Welcome to the Brand Lab series from AE Marketing Group.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Brand Lab series podcast. I'm Brian Walker. With me always is Natalie Piles. Good morning, Natalie. How are you today?
I'm good, Brian. Good morning.
So we continue to trek along in season three. We're now up to 60 episodes, and I'm super excited to have Mindy with us today in studio. Mindy is a co-founder and CEO of Kaizen Health. She's also part of the Bunker Labs ecosystem here at 1871. So Mindy, thanks so much for coming in. You've been a moving target the last 6 months.
Yeah, I apologize. I've been on the road quite a bit.
So. I know. So I know you've been very busy, and as a co-founder and a CEO, why don't you share the backstory of Kaizen Health?
Sure. So there were a couple of family situations that inspired the company. So what we do is connect healthcare and transportation. 2 years ago, my mom's sister was faced with having to move into a nursing home at age 53, initially 5 days a week, just because she didn't have a ride to physical therapy. She has MS, and she's not able to drive herself. Medicaid pays for transportation, but the process for her in Iowa was just so convoluted. It just wasn't something that made sense. And then I was, you know, upset by the fact that at 53, she was having to move into the nursing home just because she didn't have a ride. So I threw myself into research, you know, trying to understand if there was a better option. And then my mother-in-law was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. She was 55 at the time, actually living out here in the north suburbs of Chicago. So very different. You know, there were women around the same age, but really that was the end of their similarities. My mother-in-law was working, you know, had Blue Cross Blue Shield, PPO, had a car, had money, sort of all the things we hope to have when faced with a challenge like that. But that still doesn't mean that you can drive after having chemo, right? It just completely wipes you out. And so then my family was then, you know, switching schedules around and, you know, trying to get her back and forth to her appointments and continue to see what a challenge that medical transportation was. Unfortunately, she passed away only 5 weeks after her diagnosis. So after some time, I began to reflect back and, you know, saw the similarities in the situations, even though they were very disparate. I also thought back to, like, when I was growing up, the closest VA hospital to where I lived in Iowa is 3 hours away. So, you know, it's difficult. And, you know, veterans from our area, including my father, had helped, you know, other veterans get the 3 hours to Iowa City and 3 hours back. So kind of started putting these pieces together and started asking a lot of questions and kind of opened Pandora's box. I wasn't really setting out to start a company, but just to solve my own family's problems.
Yeah, that certainly sounds like you saw a need there. So beyond being an entrepreneur, you work with Bunker Labs, and we've had Todd Connor, the CEO of the Bunker Labs, on season one for episodes 3 and 4. But for you, Mindy, share your experience of working with Bunker Labs.
Yeah, so my father, you know, was like my first co-founder and first investor, you know, gave me my first little bit of cash to get this thing up and running to see what we could do. And initially the company had 100% veteran focus. I've been part of 5 startups previous to starting my own company as, you know, an early employee or a founder or on the founding team. And, you know, I realized that something that was really important was focus. So I was like, well, we'll choose veterans, you know, we'll really rally behind that. That's why we ended up at Bunker Labs. It was very different than what it is today. You know, just 2 years ago, it was, you know, Todd and Justin in a plain white room. It was just getting started. We went through their second epic cohort. And, you know, our company has evolved over time because the VA is challenging to work with, as especially if you're targeting that as kind of your main client or only client. So while we're still going after the VA, we have opened up our vision for the company to sort of whoever needs help with transportation. But Epic's been great. I also had the fortunate opportunity to be on the founding team of Matter Down the Hall, which is a healthcare technology incubator. And so was able to like really look at the pluses of each of those organizations. And one of the things that I really loved about Bunker, you know, in our EPIC cohort, we had a dog walking company, we had a car washing company, we had technology companies, you know, they were kind of spread across the board. And I think that was very valuable because you get very different perspective. People ask questions that they might not otherwise ask if they're in healthcare. And so it was really, really great to have a diverse set of eyes. We continue to be very involved with Bunker. We're part of their CEO cohort. So I meet with other CEOs with Bunker every month, at least when I'm in town. Yeah, and we work out of their space often. We're, you know, running around with customers. But yeah, it's a great organization. It's been fun to see it evolve.
Well, like the revolution, you've evolved a lot over the last couple of years as well, as you'd kind of alluded to, and I've seen a little bit from afar being inside 1871 occasionally myself as well. Talk about some of those early days, and you hinted at some of it, but talk about some of those early days as a founder at Kaizen Health, and what were some of those early struggles, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest struggle is really like figuring out the problem, right? I knew what my family experienced, but I didn't know why. And so I realized that we picked a problem to solve that was very multifaceted. A lot of people involved, right? You've got the healthcare folks, you've got the transportation providers, you've got the insurance companies, patients. So there's a lot of people touching this process. So I spent a lot of time early on just digging around and asking each of those constituents why it was a challenge and if they could dream up a solution, what it would be to make it better. So I spent a lot of time early on doing that. And then when I started to see, you know, at least some of the vision, I started reaching out to, you know, like transportation companies or payers to like get in a little deeper. You know, we have a national partnership with Lyft. So early on, I looked at both Uber and Lyft, and, you know, it was just me and my computer, and I was like on LinkedIn reaching out to all their C-level execs and anyone I could connect with and just trying to get somebody's attention to say, hey, like, what do you think about this? You know, is this something you're interested in? And so whether it was a huge company like Uber and Lyft or if it was a small, you know, 5-person organization here in Chicago, it's kind of the same thing. You're just, you know, reaching out.
We've had a lot of entrepreneurs on, and they talk about the importance of brand. So everything from elevator pitch and communications to product and service design, culture. So what is your biggest brand strength?
Yeah, so I think our biggest brand strength is, so Kaizen, if you look at the name, it's Japanese and it means continuous improvement. And that's something that we think that not only this space, but healthcare in general needs a lot of, you know, comes from sort of that Six Sigma lean startup world about always improving, always doing better, you know, always iterating, never being satisfied. And that's who we are, right? We are a logistics company. We don't actually do any of the transportation. We're a tech company, a logistics, you know, powerful like engine making things work. But that's who we are as a culture. You know, we're a lean team that gets things done, you know, makes, you know, all of the wheels turn. And so we've really kind of hinged ourselves on that.
Well, one of the things you talked a little bit about already is the backstory to how the company came to be. And I think the best companies today are ones that actually solve a problem. And then the market adapts it. And a big part of the solution, if you will, is you're kind of combining all these different entities, as you just talked about, from a logistics perspective, to use technology, to use transportation, but ultimately you're trying to improve wellness of mm-hmm. people. Talk a little bit about actually the technology, though, that kind of ties all that together. What's that like?
Yeah, you know, ever evolving, of course, but, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about needing to solve the challenges for each of those constituents. And, you know, this sort of model that we have isn't actually a new model. I mean, remember travel agents once upon a time? And then along came Expedia, right? There's actually medical transportation brokers out there that are doing very much what we do and have been doing it for decades and do a good job, but just haven't gotten to the point to bring in technology and really take it up a notch and kind of get to the level of expectation that we have today. So that's where our opportunity has come in. So on the healthcare system side, you know, we've delivered them a platform that's really user-friendly, gives them updates as to where the patients are at, lets them know if a patient has canceled a ride, and so that means they're essentially canceling their appointment and not coming in, and they get that 24 hours in advance. So we're also working on EHR integrations, care management integrations, because the last thing we want to do as an efficiency company is take somebody out of their daily workflow, right? So we're working on that space in the healthcare space as well. Like on the payer side, imagine everything being very manual as it is today in this space typically. So they're getting data months later. So they don't know if there's a problem. There's a lot of challenges with the data and it being accurate, right? Because there's nothing to back it up. There's no technology sort of tracing it. So, you know, someone might not have been picked up for a ride, but was written down that they were. And that might not be intentional, but it's just, you know, translation happens. And so like really improving that process for the payers and getting them that data and making sure it's nice and clean instantaneously, right? Today, the patients really have no communication. So they are given a window of time saying like, hey, we'll be there between 8 and 10 to pick you up. Just kind of sit there and look out your window. And then they're given that same window on the back, you know, end of their appointment. And that's really frustrating for some patients, right? Like to sit there for 2 hours and, you know, just kind of look out the window, or we're able to text them, you know, the day before for that confirmation, or call them. You know, this is all done programmatically, but whatever is their preferred way to communicate. And they get that communication. And then on the day of, they get a message saying, hey, we'll be there in about 30 minutes. And then they get another one saying, you know, the same stuff that we get from Uber and Lyft, right? The driver and the vehicle information. So that's a huge improve in visibility and communication for the patients and the healthcare systems. The healthcare systems had no visibility before. So they just kind of would call and say, hey, my patient needs a ride. And it was a blind handoff from there. And then the transportation providers too often would complain that, hey, like we're going to this patient's house and they're at their sister's, or they're not going in anymore, but we didn't get that communication. So we are sort of tying all of those pieces together and making sure that everyone's on the same page at all times.
Well, I appreciate like the specifics here as you're describing the logistics of how you operate. I would imagine that takes some time to refine. So speaking of challenges like that, can you give us an example of a challenge that you've overcome, a particular experience, and how you managed to pivot?
Yeah, I mean, I guess our biggest pivot was going from being 100% veteran-focused to just kind of opening that up to people that needed transportation in healthcare. So that was a pretty big pivot. And that was really due to us just listening, understanding customers and their needs, realizing that the problem is so big, and that if we only focused on the veteran side, that we would be doing a disservice to the rest of the society.
Well, it's interesting because I've had the opportunity to see you in action a couple of times, but I didn't realize that this isn't your first rodeo with being involved in startup teams and startup companies. And you said something early on that I think is really key often to success of fast-growing startup companies, or at least getting traction, and that is focus. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you wanted to initially focus somewhere, but then you realized that that wasn't where you needed to be, so you pivoted, which happens often. But what I think is also so interesting is that, and you just alluded to this, it is such a big problem. So as you kind of made the shift over and said, hey, we're going to look more in the general population, or we're going to look for healthcare partners in that, how did you then kind of almost refocus and get some traction? Because I've seen some of the success you've had with partnering with different healthcare organizations and entities. Was it back to that same mindset when you were on LinkedIn, where you're just grinding it out? Or how did you then refocus that?
Yeah, I think that came a lot from just the listening, like early on. You know, we can sell to pay the insurance companies, right? We can sell to healthcare system clinics. We can sell to pharma, senior living, and home healthcare. I mean, the list kind of goes on. And you're right, we had to have a focus. And so, you know, we kind of decided as a team that at the end of the day, you're ending up at a healthcare, you know, hospital or clinic, right, where you're getting healthcare services. So that's where we started, and that's where our focus is. And we're sort of dipping our toes, you know, using the healthcare systems to get the users, get people moving around, show our value, and then going to the bigger players like the payers, right? And then again, using healthcare systems to maybe get into in-home healthcare, senior living, you know, pharmaceuticals, like the clinical trials. So, but it all centers around where the people are getting the services. So rather than being like population focused, right? Like we could have said Medicaid or Medicare or, you know, any number of things as a focus, we decided to focus on where they're getting the services.
So beyond focus, something else that is clearly critical to early stage companies' success is financial footing. So if you're comfortable at all, can you talk a little bit about the financing component and what's that journey been like? I know you mentioned that you spend a lot of time on the road and a lot of it is obviously selling. I don't know if some of it is fundraising, raising money, I should say, as well. What has that component been like?
Yeah. You know, we bootstrapped for a long time. You know, did the things I always said I wouldn't do, right? Like, you know, emptying out your bank account, going $40,000 in a credit card debt, those kinds of things. And yeah, we did raise our first round of funding at the end of the year last year, which is right around the same time that we gave our first ride. So we haven't been at this, you know, just under 2 years at this point. Fundraising is challenging. We were fortunate to be part of an accelerator called Dream It. It's out of Philadelphia. And through that, we did a 2-week sort of roadshow talking to investors. I talked to 26 different investors in 2 weeks. It was both mentally and physically exhausting because the first week was in the Bay Area and then we were in New York and Boston. It's interesting when you talk about fundraising how, you know, you hear that the coasts are very different. And I can tell you, like, firsthand, it was a very different experience, you know, being on the West Coast and then being on the East Coast, then coming back here to Chicago. You know, some of the challenges are, particularly for us, it's not a particularly sexy piece of healthcare. We're not curing cancer, right? We're not, you know, solving some problem that you kind of can attach yourself to in that way. But at the same time, probably most people have known somebody that struggled with transportation and not always known why. Our business model is rather complicated, which makes it difficult to sort of get through to investors. We're lucky to have some local investors here in Chicago that we like a lot invest in the company, but it's a long process, right? It's you're sort of like dating. You know, I've been with my husband for 11 years, so I had to like figure out how to date again. And so you're like dating all of these people and, you know, telling them how special what you're doing is, and sort of trying to move them all along. I couldn't imagine like doing this in real life dating, but it's like you're doing this and then, you know, some are dropping off, some are moving forward, you know, some come back to you and say, hey, actually, like, I'm interested again. So it's an interesting process to go through for sure.
Well, in addition to working with the Bunker Labs, you've also been a part of Wisdom, the Wisdom program at 1871. What did you learn from that experience?
It was a really great experience, actually. Better than I would have expected. I didn't realize, so there aren't necessarily a lot of women in tech, and I didn't realize the gap that was sort of there, and how important it was to like surround myself with people like me going through the same things as me. You know, there unfortunately is a difference in this world if you are a guy or if you're a girl, especially on the fundraising side. There is a big difference there. And so it was really great to be able to surround myself with other women going through a lot of the same things that I was going through. Our cohort was, I think, particularly close, and it was such a great experience to, you know, you really got to spend a lot of time together. We spent 8 hours a day together, like every Tuesday, for 14 or 16 weeks. So we really got to know each other and push each other and be there for each other when things were, you know, struggling. So it was a wonderful experience.
So I didn't realize it was that extensive. I teach and mentor in the bunker cohort, but, you know, that's a much smaller period. So I imagine that immersion actually had a lot of benefits to your point about really cultivating relationships, because kind of back to what you were just talking about, I'm the dad of a 10-year-old girl who's always reading books about women in leadership and women that are breaking through roles and women that were first in their industries. She obsesses over stuff like that, and I love to see that in her. Because I don't think you're wrong with what you said. And I always tell my daughter, don't ever let anyone think that you can't do something that anyone else, especially a man, could do. But as you think about like leadership yourself, like, are there others that you've like kind of looked to for inspiration? I mean, clearly, just starting this company was a personal story, and you talked about that. But are there other women leaders that have kind of inspired you along the way?
Actually, most of the people, I mean, I do have a mentor and she's amazing. Nasreen has, you know, started her own company, like so has her husband. You know, she's been able to like talk me through pretty much anything and she's been fantastic. Prior to this, and I don't know if it's my personality or it's just been situational, but I've always reported into men. Can think of one woman that I've reported into in the last, you know, 15 years. And so I've been never treated by any of these men as anything less than their equal. Even when it was a, you know, a company, you know, of 400 and something people that we'd sold a smaller startup into, you know, these men were much more experienced than me, but never did I ever feel discounted because I was a woman. And so I think I've had a fortunate experience that I've been able to work with men that have probably made me stronger and never made me feel that there was any reason that I couldn't do anything just because I was a woman. That being said, I know that's not everyone's experience. And so that was why wisdom was really important to me. And, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, throughout college and growing up have been guys. And so I don't know. That's why I say, I don't know if it's my personality that I've just, you know, have typically been drawn. I love sports. And so I don't know if I just kind of fit in better generally with guys. But, you know, what I do want, I have two nieces like by blood and I have, you know, many of my friends' kids, you know, are girls. And the last thing I want for any of them is to feel like they, similar to like how you feel for your daughter. I don't want them thinking that they can't do something just because they're a girl. So this is something that's really important to me, even though I haven't felt a ton of the backlash of what happens.
What an awesome perspective. Thank you so much for sharing that. We're looking forward to hearing what's next for Kaizen Health.
Yeah, so we are, you know, we've gotten a foothold here in Chicago. Of course, we're still looking to grow, and, you know, this is our city, so our space is becoming pretty active, but I don't want anyone coming into my town and being here. But, you know, I think our next plan is to expand into the Northeast and Southeast. So we'll be spending some time up in like the New York area and then down in Florida. Not a lot of people want to live in Chicago when it's cold out when the winter comes, right? So a lot of people that need our help end up in the South in the winter. So that will be what's next for us.
So I know you mentioned that you like sports. And it's funny because you talk about Chicago being your town. But if memory serves correct, one thing that we have in common that you may not know is that we're both Packers supporters. So how does that go over in your house? Is your husband from Chicago?
He is. He's actually a big Bears fan. So is my dad. So when I was like 8 or 9 years old and decided I liked football, I asked my dad who the Bears biggest rival was, probably not in those words, because I'm not sure that I knew that word, but, and he told me the Packers, and I told him that that was my new favorite team. So I've been a little bit of a disgruntled sports fan as of late, you know, with Aaron Rodgers being out, and Iowa Hawkeyes aren't doing so hot either. So, but yes, big Packers fan, so definitely some rivalry.
Yeah, well, we could do a whole show on their season because talk about a disruption and a challenge to try to pivot,
right?
And the pressure on McCarthy to somehow deliver in these kind of circumstances, I think is going to be great. But we'll save that for another show and another day. Natalie, now you know why I've tried so hard to get Mindy in, because I think, as you know, I love founders and businesses that are solving really important problems. And I think using technology and transportation to help improve wellness and connectivity is so important. So, Mindy, I admire what you're doing. I love seeing you occasionally across my social feed, always moving and shaking and being somewhere. So we wish you and Kaizen and the whole team the best of luck as you continue to grow and expand. And thanks so much for being on the Brand Labs today.
Thank you for having us, and I'll look forward to talking again soon.
I want to thank our listeners for joining us in the Brand Lab today and to invite you back next Tuesday as we continue our journey of today's most innovative brands, as we learn how they empower employees, engage consumers, design products, and co-create experiences together. Until next time. To hear other episodes of the Brand Lab series, visit brandlabseries.com or visit iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter at Brand Lab Series. And if you have any questions or would like to participate in a future Brand Lab, email us at info@aemarketinggroup.com.
To learn more about Kaizen Health, visit us at kaizenhealth.org.